If you've been told to pull up your socks, then make sure it's a pair of TNT socks. The TNT shop is now open at TNTRadio.live. Germ warfare is Jeremy now. On today, TNT shop is now open at TNTRadio.live. Germ warfare is Jeremy now. On today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
germwarfare@tntradio.live. That's my email address. Send me an email. Tell me where in the world you're listening from. I keep saying this. It's my favorite part. I am on a mission to get people listening from everywhere. I've been emailed from people in Russia and Bermuda, obviously Canada, US, all the usual suspects, Australia, New Zealand. Funnily enough, not Tasmania, but then Jeff, I don't think anybody cares about Tasmania. Not even Australians care about Tasmania. I mean, they hate that little bit so much that they just chopped it off the bottom and left it to float. I mean, I don't even know if Tasmania even exists. I think it's a conspiracy, Jeff. Tasmania, it's just drawn on a map. It doesn't really exist. There's nobody there. Jump into the live chat. It's on the website, tntradio.live. please engage with me if you don't want to send me an email, but do say hi. I'm going to be chatting about children's books in a moment. And do download the app. It's in the Apple and Google App Store, the TNT app. You can listen to any show you want after the fact. And I believe that we have hit 3 million downloads thanks to people listening to the show after the fact. That is wonderful. Absolutely brilliant. TNT Radio is really hitting a good spot now in the zeitgeist. You know, people clearly want a counter narrative, independent view, and they are tired of mainstream establishment nonsense. My name is Germ. This is Germ Warfare, the battle of ideas.
Stream us anywhere.
I listen on Alexa.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Man, I really hope I say this correctly. Deborah de Groff, thank you for joining me in the trenches.
Thank you for having me. I'm sure this is not an ordinary topic on your program.
It isn't, but first things first, did I pronounce your surname correctly?
Yes, you did.
Oh, wonderful. I know that in the US, people struggle with that that sort of German-Dutch sound, but I'm South African, so it comes fairly easy to me.
Okay, well, I have a West Virginia accent, so I am sure that we're on the same page here.
listen, Your talking points are fascinating. It's definitely something that I have never spoken about. And funnily enough, it has been something I've thought about many times. Actually, I'm lying. I have spoken, you know, in passing about children's books and the messaging and the propaganda and all that, but I've never, I suppose, spoken more than 5 or 10 minutes about it because nobody really, I guess, thinks about it, which is where you come in.
Yes. I think if I would have realized what I was getting into over 30 years ago, I probably would have run the other direction. It has been fascinating. I've always been a reader. I read voraciously when I was a child. And when our oldest child began to read, I started taking him to the library and I started bringing home all of the new books. And it was very, very interesting. It's not just reading one book. After you've read and read and read hundreds of them, you start seeing patterns and things that have been done over the years, things that are woven in. One of the first things that I noticed, and I'm 63, but when I was a child in school here in America, we used to have to take our 25 spelling words and make a story out of them. Okay. And you know, that wasn't easy when you really didn't understand the definition. So you would try to get around that and make up all kinds of silly stuff in your paper. Well, when you're reading these young children's books, it was as if they were dropping in names and ideas And they were totally out of place, just as our young stories were when we were children. For example, if you wanted to bring in, you know, of course they didn't do that in the 80s, but if you were going to bring in climate change, okay, you might have a story that had nothing to do with the climate whatsoever, and all of a sudden you would see climate change in that story, totally out of place. And then you would read the next book and you would see the same thing. So you realized early on that ideas were being planted in the children's minds.
Sure. I'm trying to think where to start, because I have been a professional, cartoonist for almost two decades. And so children's books, cartoons, as part of who I am. And I grew up with Saturday morning cartoons. And I remember, Deborah, perhaps maybe late 80s, early 90s, my parents were already very worried about not just what was in the books, but what was on TV, you know, the TV cartoons. And if I look at the Cartoon Network now, it's a disgrace. I don't think it's for kids.
You're absolutely right. It's just that when it came to cartoons or movies, parents were more aware because maybe they were in the same room and they saw something or they heard something. But when it came to books, in your generation, at your age, the only thing you've ever heard is reading is fundamental. You know, reading is great. You've got to read, you've got to read, you've got to read. But nobody questioned what was inside the books. And that's where I come in. And parents just assumed that all of those books that the children were reading were safe and neutral. Now, I've done this for over 35 years, and I can tell you that I still run into many people, even people that I do podcasts with, that are not even aware that there's profanity in a kid's book, let alone the obscenities, you know, straight pornography, or anything else in between. And so, you know, what I do is I don't make lists and tell you what to have your children read and what not to read. What I do is try to teach you what is in the books that you have to look for yourself and how it is done.
Okay. Well, before you do that, would you mind telling me what were kids reading a century ago?
Well, many of your classics, Dickens, Sir Walter Scott, Thackeray, these are books that they read for pleasure. Now, even when I was growing up, now I happen to like those. I'm a Dickens fan and classics I really like. But in high school, people thought they were being punished to have to read books like that. Okay?
I remember.
Okay. But it was for pleasure in the 1900s. So, you know, we all grew up with the Edward Stratemer Syndicate books, you know, like Nancy Drew and Hardy Boys and things like that. But early
Fantastic Five or something.
Well, I think 1904 was maybe the first Bobbsey Twin. I think it was the 1927 maybe for Nancy Drew. But librarians early on, many of those wouldn't allow them in the library. And it wasn't because they were bad books or immoral. It was because they were of such a lower quality than the content of the children reading, say, the classics. So you got So you got the kids more into entertainment. You know, you read one, then you read the other one. I did that. I remember third grade, I read every Nancy Drew I could get. In fourth grade, a new one came out. And I thought, oh, this lady must be 100. And she's still writing books, not realizing that these weren't real people. They were hack writers. Now, as an adult, you can go back and you can read those books and you'll find that they're all basically about alike. But one thing I want to bring up is I collect a lot of old educational books and readers. And in 1916, in a language art book for the teachers, she's stressing Ivanhoe for eighth grade. Now we have a program in America, I don't know if you have it in South Africa, called Accelerated Reader, and it's listed at a 12th grade, 9th month reading level. Now, regardless of what you think about reading levels, you can see that the children have been dumbed down. And this is a very important factor. The books are written on very low reading levels, very low reading levels, third, fourth, fifth grade reading levels. In fact, on Accelerated Reader, I document this a couple of times a year. And for the last 5-6 years, only 1% of all of the fiction books written for 9th to 12th grade readers on their site is written at a 9th to 12th grade interest level, excuse me, are written on a 9th to 12th grade reading level. So you understand, 99% of all the fiction available on Accelerated Reader for 9th to 12th grade interest levels is written below a 9th grade. And most of that is a 4th grade. Why is that? Well, the important thing is the message. Okay? The important thing is the message. If you can remember that, it's not whether your children can read. See, they changed the reading instructional methods early in the 1900s. By 1930, it was pretty much across the board that they switched from teaching phonics to word recognition. So now you have a controlled vocabulary where the kids are not sounding out the words, they're learning to recognize words. Now, I have a dear friend who is a teacher, and one thing she always comments on is the children will raise their hand and they'll say, "I don't remember that word." Now, if you know how to read, why would you have to remember a word?
Wow.
Okay. So we had a limited vocabulary. In fact, I don't know if you're familiar in South Africa with boxcar children. Okay, it was a juvenile series, and it was written by a teacher. And they're very, very popular here. There were 19 of them that she actually wrote herself. After she died, now they have 100 and some more that are called created by her. But what people don't realize is she wrote the first book in that series in 1924, when kids were still learning to read properly. So she had words like harmoniously, piazzas, delicatessen, you know, rapturous, you know, all those types of words. So
for kids,
yes. Yes,
that's incredible.
Yes, okay. And by 1942, she was hired to rewrite it. And now it no longer has any of those words. It is down to a controlled vocabulary. Now, I happen to have an old copy of the second book in the series, and it tells you right in the back of it that it's that they used a controlled vocabulary. They had to line up with the basal readers that they were using to teach the children.
Good heavens.
Yes. I mean, we could go on for a whole program just on that. And so that had to take place first before you started messing with the content of the books. See, now they're strictly entertainment and planting ideas. Now, books were very, very moral up to that point. Then they became amoral, and then it was a hop, skip, and a jump till they became immoral.
Gee, hang on. The hair on my arms, Deborah, standing up right now. this is absolutely bewildering. All right, hold on a second. I just quickly need to go to an ad break, so I'll be back with you shortly.
Okay.
You should hear what Greg Maybury is talking about.
We can just about pick any significant event in US history or history generally, and the accounts differing from the official narrative are at best dismissed by the media or relegated to the realm of conspiracy theory. We've heard this many times before. And so it is with the JFK assassination, the Vietnam War, the Six-Day War between Egypt and Syria and Jordan and Israel, the assassination of Martin Luther King and the attempted sinking of a US Navy ship, the USS Liberty, by the Israeli Defense Forces. All of this happened throughout the 60s. What do these events have in common, apart from the fact that they all occurred around about the same era? One man, as it turns out, a former Texas school teacher turned politician turned US president by the name of Lyndon Baines Johnson. He plays the central role in instigating or covering up the real story behind a lot of these events. He was certainly instrumental in fostering the continued growth of the deep state, whereas his predecessor, JFK, who was assassinated, wanted to pare back this deep state, or what Dwight Eisenhower, JFK's predecessor, called the military-industrial complex.
The No-Fly Zone with Greg Maybury on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Public school is the instituted agency of socialism throughout every community.
The U.S. government has no authority to have any role in education.
We're going to lose our very republic if we don't stop this indoctrination of children in government schools.
What happened to us in China can't happen here.
Have one kind of education and then call it equity.
It's about outcomes. It's about trying to force us all to be equal.
I think we're going to have a race civil war in our hands.
We are exposing kids to pornography as early as kindergarten. Parents just don't know.
No, not anymore. Not anymore. Parents need to wake up. They don't have the interests of your child at heart.
Truth and lies in American education at salemnow.com.
Anywhere. Anywhere. Anytime. Anytime.
And it's just wherever you need it, you can just go online and get it.
Just tell your smart device to play
TNT Radio.
Deborah, I think I'm going to invite you back because I can talk to you about this for hours. It is incredibly interesting. I remember when I was growing up, well, actually still now, but I was a huge fan of the Asterix and Obelix series, and I've got all of them. And something that struck me as really odd, well, I don't know, decade or two ago, and I never thought more of it, but I remember seeing the Americanized versions of it and how they changed some of the names of the characters. And I could never understand why they did that. And I subsequently found out that it was because they were dumbing it down for American kids. And I could never, that didn't make any sense to me. Why would they feel the need to do that? And that's now linking to what you're saying.
Yeah, this is a lengthy conversation, actually. I am still speechless at how they have done this. Now, on some of the reading level sites that we have in America, in one of them, they have William Faulkner's Sound and the Fury on the same reading level as Donovan's Big Day by Leslie Newman. Now, have you ever read Faulkner?
I have not.
Okay, Faulkner is usually taught in advanced classes in high school or college. I mean, it's a very difficult thing to teach people how to read and comprehend Faulkner's style. So it's very curious that you take a book for preschoolers and you mark it at a fourth grade, fourth month reading level, and a Faulkner book at fourth grade, fourth month reading level. How could that happen? But part of the way that they design their reading levels is by the word length or sentence length, the word value or the sentence length. So when you're dealing with books for preschoolers, how does a preschooler talk? I went to grandma's house and we watched a movie and then we baked cookies and then she made me a peanut butter sandwich and I really liked it. And after a while, we went out for ice cream. Okay.
No full stops.
You're right. Okay. So we have a lengthy sentence. So your algorithms, it's not a real person sitting there analyzing the text. it's an algorithm. And, you know, so that is a fascinating study, just trying to look at the reading levels. But you have to think about how children interact with a book. Okay. Have you ever seen the old movie Escape from Alcatraz, which is a prison? Okay.
Yes.
Who were you rooting for in the movie?
Ooh. I can't remember, but it was obviously Yes, I can't remember the name of the character.
Okay. Now, is that something that you typically do, that each day you pray and root for the prisoners to escape?
No.
Okay. Well, it's the same thing in children's literature. You build up an affinity with the protagonist, and things that you wouldn't normally accept, like wanting the prisoners to escape, you see, now the children are accepting it. You have to look at, it isn't just face value when you're reading a children's book. It is, what is the takeaway from that? Okay, now, one of the ways that they accomplish this is by omission. This is the biggest one that factors into books for very young children. See, they're starting the message on social justice warriors at birth,
yeah,
with boy books now. Okay. So what happens is we take a character, and I make this one up. I surely hope the audience know that I'm making this one up. Okay. Take Hitler. Okay. We were going to write a story, say, about Hitler for preschoolers. Well, what happens is they write about a story about him being a cute little, beautiful little child. And that one time the neighbor broke her leg and he went over and he helped her weed her garden. Now you have a beautiful edition of a preschool book with heavy pages, beautiful illustrations. And at the end of the book, what does the child think about Hitler? You see?
He loves him. He thinks he's a great little kid.
Yes. And so when I was a child, most of your biographies, whether they were all totally legitimate or not, is not the question, but they were mostly about dead people. Now, these books are about people who are very much alive, you know, Hillary Clinton, Obama, you know, all of these people, when they get done with the little story, you want to go back through the book and see where they dropped their halo. You see, it's by omission that they are creating these ideas. Does that make sense?
So what you're suggesting, Deborah, if I'm following correctly, is that they've shifted away from the language to trying to propagandize.
Yes, absolutely. And of course, the obscenity, and I'll go ahead and bring this in because this is probably new to you, but okay, I have one book from Simon & Schuster Children's Publishing Division, and this book would be meant for young adults, okay? So we're talking, you know, 12, 13, 14 to about 18, right? It has over 1,300 F words, 900 other profanities, and I repeat this every time I talk. And those 2,000 words are the nicest part of the book.
Gee.
Yes, you look stunned. Okay, yes, that is the nicest part of the book. That book is not an exception. These types of books are coming more than norm. Now, okay, I have one book that has, I mean, this one is mild, you know, compared to that one, but it has 278 F words in it. Now, that particular book is available as an audiobook. Now, let me clarify that. One page has 26 F words on it. So now the child is not reading those 26 words. They're hearing those words being spoken to them. Now, let's make the next leap. The sex scenes. I mean, we have everything, anal sex, fisting. I don't know how much we can say on here. I mean, there is nothing, sadomasochism, you know, BDSM. Okay, all of those things are in children's books. Now, as far as all the books that are available as an audio book, now they are hearing those things being read to them. Now, when I look at these things, I think that they are conditioning kids as the characters in Brave New World. You remember? Okay, these, yes, okay, what kept them entertained? Sex and drugs. You see, sex and drugs, sex and drugs, sex and drugs. And once you start them on that, and they're starting them so very, very, very early, they're not thinking about what's really going on beyond what Greta Thunberg's telling them about the climate. They're looking for harder and harder porn. And,
oh, and they're so young.
Yes, and they are so very, very young. Now your preschool books, everything is about you're not really a little boy, you might be a girl. These are books for preschoolers. Okay, you know, the bat thinks he's a butterfly, or the butterfly thinks he's a bat, or all of these different things are being introduced to the children. They don't know any better. They are preschoolers. And I'd like to use the illustration. If you have a child and you ask them what they want for Christmas in July, oh my gosh, they're going to die if they don't have this particular whatever, right? Okay, what happens if you ask them again in November? They're not even thinking about that. There's some new thing. Because what do kids do? They change their minds. And now we're absolutely declaring to these children that they are the opposite sex, or now we're into the furries where they're a cat or a dog or, you know, or anything in between. And people are so, they're horrified at all of this furry information. But if I can come on here and tell you I'm really a man and you have to agree to that, what is the difference of me coming on your show and telling you I'm a cat? Won't you have to agree to that? Yes.
Mm. Okay, hold on, Deborah. I just quickly need to do the news headlines. I'll be back with you very shortly.
What brings you here?
News entirely.
TNT Radio News.
Matt Boyland here with a look at your TNT headlines. Companies in Poland and Germany have applied to secure deliveries of Russian oil for the next year in defiance of Western price caps and sanctions that have been levelled against Moscow's energy sector. EU figures are investigating reports of Ukraine attacking civilian areas in the Donbas region, and an investigation by the Associated Press has revealed authorities in countries around the world have been using mass surveillance technology mobilised for COVID contact tracing against its own people.
It's Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
From our family to yours.
Happy holidays.
TNT.
Yeah, I just want to point out, I don't like it when people say happy holidays. To me, it's Christmas. So I'll say Merry Christmas, Deborah.
Okay, thank you.
You know, what's so fascinating to me about what you're talking about is you don't realize how early in life these worldviews get instilled into us. You sometimes don't think about it. You think it only somehow starts when you, I don't know, 20 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's still a misconception. People think that their children are getting radicalized or indoctrinated after they get to college. And nothing could be further from the truth. They are already indoctrinated at very, very early ages. And the ones in preschool, you know, it begins then. And, you know, it's astonishing to me. Now, one part that really bothers me is the police brutality and corruption. And that is actually a subtitle on the Accelerated Readers subtopics. There's 31 books on their site that list police brutality and corruption. And so what they do is they start out with a character. That character becomes the victim because you had a white policeman that killed them. I mean, there's one of them where an off-duty policeman kills the boy who's in a department store buying his first suit because they confuse the coat hanger with a gun. Okay, I mean, these are the type of stories. But by the time the child has read those complete books, oh my goodness, they hate police. And you see, you could use that. I mean, there are accountants. There are podcasters. There are mommies and grandmas like me who do bad things. That doesn't make it true across the board. But these kids hate the police. I mean, if you would read these books, you'd be astounded. I mean, you would hate white people. You would hate police. You would hate everybody when you finish reading some of these kids' books. It's incredible.
You would also hate yourself.
Yes. They're gripping. Well, you always come out with you're some kind of a victim.
Mm.
You know, that is the scorecard. And so when you talk about children's books, okay, people don't like to talk about that. As soon as you bring up a children's book, it's like, oh my gosh, you're a censor. Okay, that's the only thing they know how to say. And as soon as they yell, Jeremy, you're a censor, then somehow that's supposed to silence the whole discussion. And so, you know, we've got to get beyond that so that parents can understand, no, you do need to read these books before your children do. They're gripping. They are gripping and they are changing the worldviews of all of these children. Now, I have one article on my website that calls, I think it's Shaping a Child's Worldview. And I took 45 books that are basically for preschoolers, some of them starting as early as infancy. And I found them on YouTube being read. I mean, you have to understand these preschool books, some of them take 5 minutes. Okay, we're not talking lengthy books, but I made a link on the chart. I said how long the reading was, and you can go in your spare time and start listening and looking at the pictures of these books so that you can see for yourself exactly what these young children are seeing and hearing. And it will really open your eyes. I really recommend that people, sure, people do that. Yes. Go ahead.
No, sorry, go on. No, go on.
Okay, there's one book for 4 to 9-year-olds, okay? And it is, they picture the protagonist in this story as being a young girl. She was not a young girl. She was a card-carrying communist. I mean, she became actually a card-carrying communist later, but she already had her revolutionary ideas. It was a real person. But my point in this is a book for 4 to 9-year-olds. And there's one page on there. The police arrest her 17 times and they break 6 of her ribs. Now, I don't know if you have children, but can you imagine reading that to your 4-year-old and then saying, good night, sweet dreams? You know, they would be terrified of police forevermore. Now, what kind of a children's editor would have allowed something like that in a major publication for kids? So the point is, they are targeting children. Okay, in the United States, there are 43 states that have what is called obscenity exemptions. So, for example, if you read or said some of these things to my grandchildren, you would be in prison for a very long time. Okay, but the schools are exempt for doing the same thing because it's because it's considered educational purposes. Now, how would they do that? Well, to begin with, when you got a law like that passed, you're talking about, okay, you're teaching art history and you show Michelangelo's artwork. Okay. David. So that maybe people would have considered that pornographic. So we gave you obscenity exemptions. And what happens when you give someone an inch? You know, we all know then they take 17 miles, right? And so now the schools are getting away with teaching everything, anal sex, fisting, anything. Anything goes. This is what they're teaching in a public school. And so
it's vile.
Okay, but my argument is these major publishing companies, what kind of exemptions do they have? See, you cannot start a convenience store in America and sell my minor grandchildren a Playboy, right? I mean, you would fry for that. But however, they're marketing things that are much worse to children, marketing and targeting children with this material. How do they get away with it? Because there's only, what, 5 or 6 corporations that basically own everything. And so the same people that own the major publishing companies also own the media. And so who has enough money to go against them? But see, they're the ones, you know, if you have a detective on a drug task force, they don't want the guy smoking a joint. They want the guy that's supplying the drugs, right? Well, we don't do that. We try to go after, you know, the teacher or something, you know, or somebody like that. And meanwhile, the publishers just keep producing more and more and more. And, you know, it just goes, the depravity has no bottom. When you think nothing could get more depraved, it does. And they keep moving the bar to normalize things.
And a problem, Debbie, is that parents are not reading these books.
Yes. Because the parents have gone through the same system. You see, everybody wants to blame the parents. But the parents were conditioned through the exact same system. I have a reader. My father is 90 years old now. Okay. I have one of his readers from elementary school, and it's the word guessing controlled vocabulary. However, back then, the teachers knew how to teach phonics. So they might have used these new Basel readers that were dumbed down, but they were still teaching them how to read properly. So most of that generation, you know, still reads well, but you've got to think. Everybody alive today basically has been dumbed down, some to more extent and some to lesser. And so the parents aren't recognizing. Go ahead.
Go on.
No, I'm just saying reading is very uncomfortable for many people. Okay. I'm a good reader, thankfully. Okay. But many people are not, and it's not because they're dumb. They are not dumb. There are many people who are completely illiterate or some of the wisest and smartest people you have ever met. They weren't taught. You understand? You know, my husband always says, stupid is forever, but ignorance can be fixed. And they were taught that they were dumb because they didn't learn to read, but they weren't taught properly. See, in the old readers I have from the 40s, I collect the old readers from late 1800s up to 1965. One of the first words that a child learned to memorize in the 1940s in a pre-primer was the word airplane. But you didn't learn the word up until the third book. The airplane was easy to recognize. They had pictures, and it was a long word.
It's flipped now.
Pardon me?
It's flipped.
Yes. Yes. And so these kids who didn't, you know, they didn't grasp all of these words they were supposed to be memorizing, they fell through the cracks, and they thought they were dumb. And they're not dumb people. You know, I have great sympathy and empathy for people who are illiterate.
Okay, hold on, Debbie. I've got a slightly loaded question to ask you. So I think, Jeff, let's just quickly go to an ad break. I'll be back with you now, Debbie.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
Are any UTNT listeners fans of Mad Magazine? I don't know if there are people in other areas of the world that know what Mad Magazine is, but it was a real funny satirical magazine. They still have it. I mean, when I was a kid, it cost 25 cents. Now it would probably cost $100 or something. But they used to have this one section called Scenes We'd Like to See. And they get movies, and what they do is that we'd like to see this scene done this way. Well, you know what I would love to see? I would love to see the White House spokesperson explain what the administration is doing to protect all these people coming across the border into Texas when there's a wicked cold shot coming in for 5 days. Has anybody thought of that? Does anybody even care? Speaking of wicked cold shots, anybody take a look at the Far East? And of course, now the media is picking up on the bomb cyclone coming through the Midwestern part of the United States. Shock. Not. This is TNT Climate and Weather Watchdog meteorologist Joe Bastardi asking you to enjoy the weather. I know I do. It's the only weather you got.
Imagine being invisible. You could mess with someone's mind, sneak up on them, and they wouldn't know you're there. Even scare them to death. When you speed on our roads, that's what happens. Because no one sees you coming. Think road safety. A message from the government of South Australia.
Twitter Files confirms the Biden campaign colluded with big tech to shut down reporting on Hunter Biden's laptop. Impeach Joe Biden now. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Okay, Debbie, what is your opinion on probably the most famous children's book in the world, Harry Potter?
Well, I can be honest with you, I have never read the Harry Potter books, and I'll tell you why. Whenever there are books that everybody is addressing, there's no point in me addressing it also. The argument has always been, oh, my child was never a reader, and now they love to read. Okay, there is, and I'm telling you flat out, I haven't read these, but I've read enough about them to know that there is real occultic things inside those books. I am a Christian. That is not something that I would give to my grandchildren. Okay. Christianity, in fact, has been discredited for so many years in children's books. And if we could go back to when they first introduced the LGB topic, okay, 1969 was the first homosexual protagonist in a children's book, okay, by John Donovan, okay, and I'll get there, it better be worth the trip. Now, of course, it was mild, but the only people really objecting was biblically, scripturally. So every time you had a book that introduced thereafter that started introducing that topic, you had to discredit Christianity in the same book. Because if the Christians were just stupid liars, then that absolved that argument. And so Harari's new book, okay, the first thing he does, now Harari believes no God, no soul, and no free will. So I just did it. Yes, yes, and that's what he talks about. But now he's writing books for children. You see, the first one came out in October. My last article on my website is that Harari article. So he has to take it step by step because he's going to have 4 volumes. You see, it's going to come out 1 a year. So the next one will be out in October of 23. So he's not going to introduce all of his philosophies at once. The first one is based on very strong evolution and eradicating God. And he tells them that his story is a true story, but everybody else's story was made up. And so, I don't know, you have to look at these things, Jeremy. It's, you can't make it up. The one thing that's different about what I'm doing and is the fact that you can check out everything. I don't have to have 97 degrees after my name, and neither does anybody listening to this. Everything that I say, everything that I put on my website, they can go get the books themselves and see if I'm making it up. Once they get their eyes open to what's happening in children's books, then their eyes are also opened up to the other discussions that you're having on your program.
So, Debbie,
yes.
What happens once your eyes are open? What's the next step? How do you push back?
Okay, are you talking generally or just in children's books? You talk about when your eyes are open.
Let's talk about children's books, since that's the underlying thread.
Well, as soon as you see that in children's books, you realize how somebody deliberately shaped either you yourself when you were a child or your children, and alarm bells go off because none of us like to be manipulated. So you can watch a commercial on TV when you're a kid, you know, and you want a birthday present or a Christmas present, and you're totally enraptured with some toy that might break in 30 minutes, okay? But, you know, if at that moment, that's all you want. Well, that's what we're doing to kids. And so once your eyes are open, then you start asking questions, which is a good thing. You know, is Greta Thunberg right? You know, when she tells the kids, hey, the adults won't do anything. It's up to you because they will not take care of anything. You know, you have to, or we're all going to die. Our house is on fire. Okay. Or blah, 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 blah. Okay. So it's a great thing. We need people to start asking questions instead of being mesmerized by entertainment. We need to think. People don't want to think. You know, that's why drugs are so prevalent, because people don't want to think. You know, life is painful today. I mean, it's hard. You know, it's a struggle just financially, everything. The rules change every day. See, God says, I am the Lord, I change not. But look at society today. Look at the politics. Look at the rules every day. Something has changed. Now you're not allowed to say this. You know, now you can say this. So when you talk about censorship, obscenity is not considered free speech in America, by the way. Okay. It is not protected free speech. Ideologies are. But you take one of these ideologies, they have become the new worldview. And you're not allowed to disagree with it. So how many books do you think are available to the children that tell them that they can't change their sex?
But sorry, Debbie, I think what I was trying to ask is, do you then still let children read those books and then you have conversations with them, or do you just look for alternative books with messages that are probably more wholesome?
Well, you need to look at things that are more edifying, for sure, because, you know, a lot of these books, the sex scenes are so, I mean, they're so out of this world. You wouldn't expect to find the material in a kid's book in a back alley in an adult bookstore.
For real. Sex scenes.
Oh, my goodness.
I think I'm going to go have to read them myself, and I'll come back to you.
I mean, it's absolutely incredible. You can't get those out of your head. And so you don't know what's in the books that your children are reading. And so the only thing you can do is read first, you know, or hopefully become a reader where you're used to books that are that are edifying.
I know, Deborah, that your strength is books. And we won't get into the conversation because we are running out of time now. But I guess a direct relationship is TV cartoons. I mentioned at the beginning of the show, but I mean, Cartoon Network and Disney and all that, they also are pushing similar messaging. There was a cartoon that I saw briefly. It was on the Cartoon Network, and it goes fine for the most part. And suddenly at the end of the episode, there are these two female characters in a cartoon that kiss each other.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So they catch you right at the end.
Yes. And you see, I never like to try to portray that children's books is the beginning and end all of everything. I think that the things show up in children's books earlier sometimes than the movies or the cartoons or whatever. But the cartoons, school curriculum, the movies, the video games, the music, all of those things reinforce the exact same messages. And that's why you find it so difficult when you hear people and you think, where in the what planet are these people from? Okay. And it's because they've all have the same end ideas at this point. And they think you're crazy because every idea you have has been nullified in either the children's books or the media.
Whatever happened to, you know, the children's books that I read, Fun with Dick and Jane, you know, Look, Jane, Look. You know,
I have to go there. I'm sorry. Those were word guessing controlled vocabulary books. Yes, the illustrations were beautiful, but you were memorizing look, look, Jane, Jane, see, jump, jump, spot, jump. No, those were all that controlled vocabulary that was keeping you from reading. So, yes, they were beautiful little illustrations, wholesome little children. But they were doing more damage to this world than
that
you could ever
is
imagine.
Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. I had never thought of it like that.
It's maddening. It is maddening. I have my first grade teacher's manual, because I told you I collect these, and it says right in there, we do not teach vowel sounds till somewhere in second grade because they are unnecessary and generally unreliable. I couldn't make this stuff or I would be writing fantasy. Gee. Yes.
Debbie, we are very quickly running out of time, so just very short. I'll give you 2 minutes. Where can people follow your work?
Well, I have a website and it's called whatsinsidechildrensbooks.com. And so I post articles on there when I can and hope that people will read them. I also have a book I wrote called Between the Covers, What's Inside a Children's Book. And it is only available from my website, except for there is a Kindle version that I basically put up on Amazon for international orders because shipping is so cost prohibitive. So anyway, I hope, you know, and in my book, it's not a list of good books. It's not a list of bad books. It's a list of showing how your children have been targeted. What are reluctant readers? You know, what is a controlled vocabulary? What are adult books for kids that have been labeled for kids that were written for adults? Who is the Pied Pipe Kinsey with Dr. Judith Riesman? She's the one who did all of the work for so many years on Kinsey. And, you know, all of those things. I deal with censorship, book weeding, all kinds of things. It's an 8.5 by 11 size book. So,
okay. Debbie DeCroft, thank you so much for joining me in the trenches for the most absolutely fascinating conversation.
Well, thank you for having me. I actually really enjoyed this. I was nervous, but I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
I'm going to invite you back in the new year because there's a lot more I want to ask you about with regards to all this kind of stuff. It's very, very interesting. And I, again, I want to reemphasize this. You forget that this, that all of this stuff starts early on in life. Just like your health starts with what you eat, your worldview starts with what you learn to read. It's incredible.
Yes, it's
mind blowing. So God bless you, Debbie. It's an amazing conversation. I hope you have a great day further. Thank you for joining me. Thank you, Jeff, for keeping the show going. I will catch the, well, what's today? Wednesday. Yes, I'll be back on Friday. I'm out of here. My name is Germ. This is Germ Warfare, the Battle of Ideas.